And now let us prepare ourselves for hearing God's word. Please pray with me. Calm us now, O Lord, into a quietness that heals and listens. Open wounded hearts to the balm of your word. Speak to us in clear tones so that we might feel our spirits leap for joy and skip with hope as your resurrection witnesses. Amen. Today's New Testament scripture reading is from Mark 8th chapter, verses 27 to 33. Jesus went on with his disciples to the village of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist," and others said, "Elijah," and still others, "one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our Old Testament lesson is Psalm 23, and I think, most of us have grown up. This psalm has been so significant in our lives that we need to read this scripture together. So please join me in reading Psalm 23. It's in your bulletin. Now, this is the NRSV version, so you might want to read along because we all learned. It depends on how old we are, which version we learned. I learned on the King James, and now I mess it up so badly, I always have to read it. Because I put three versions together somewhere along the way. So let's read together the 23rd Psalm, and let's read it with, not as a recitation, but with the meaning it invokes in our lives. The Lord
is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long.
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. These words give us comforts and rest for our weary souls. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. In these words, we find assurance that God is indeed with us. And most of all, God has it all in control. We don't have to have all the answers. We don't have to solve the problems. For God is here, protecting and providing all that we need. We really don't have to have all the answers. We don't have to solve all the problems of the world. We know that God has given us intelligence and a higher level of function than any other being in God's creation. But God is even greater than we are, wiser than we are, and more loving than we are. God assures us that we aren't able and aren't required to have the answers and always be perfect. In our human state, we are sinful, imperfect, unknowing, and although we want to think that we know it all, we don't have all the answers, and some answers are beyond our capacity. And so we need to rest in our God who knows infinitely more than we. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for His name's sake. When someone dies, families often want this psalm read at the funeral. Words of comfort and assurance. When you struggle with life, do you read or recite Psalm 23 to slow your heart and pour salve on your wounds? Psalm 23 is one of the most memorized scripture passages in the Bible. We need it. It's our go-to when life is hard. It acts as a touchstone for our faith. In the Harry, I know I'm a little out of step behind. Sorry. What's your child's name, Scott? Sorry, I know I'm before your time. But for me, I love the Harry Potter movies, and I still watch them. But in the series, certain objects are called portkeys, and they hold magic power, and which they transport anyone who touches them to another place in the world. Well, you know, for our faith, for Christians, Psalm 23 is our faith portkey. It transports us to a lush green glen by a stream of fresh, clear water. It's a safe place that provides all we need. Sometimes in life, things happen. COVID. We do things or others do things that bring upset and confusion. We face challenges and we frantically search for answers. We search by asking others for their advice. And we search in our heads, own heads, and sometimes have battling conversations within our own selves. We beat up on others and on ourselves just trying to sort through the chaos. This happens at home with our spouses and our children. It happens at work, where we feel our careers are on the line. It happens in churches. It happens politically in our country. We are experiencing it, and with COVID and restrictions and safety and shots and so forth. All these can terrify us. I remember when my children went through puberty and their moods swung faster than our heads can turn, and my husband and I butted heads with each other. And they, you know, the kids were seeking freedom from their parents, and we worked hard to protect them from their foolish decisions, which could have endangered them. It was a terrifying time. They felt that they were doing what was right for them, but driving, stealing the car and driving in the middle of the night, yes, I had that happen. My husband and I slept with keys under our pillows because we were trying to do the right thing and keep them safe. Our points of view did not match. It seemed as if our home life was a constant battleground in which we sought to find some compromise and peace, but peace rarely reigned. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for His namesake. You know, God never assures us that life is easy. God never says that we won't have difficult times. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we indeed walk those valleys of death, not just in physical death, but spiritual, emotional, relational, and mental. When we read our Bibles, we find the story of Jacob in the Old Testament and his family. Jacob cheated his brother Esau out of his inheritance and family blessing, and so Esau threatened to kill Jacob, and Jacob had to flee his home. even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death. Isaac and Rebekah's family was torn apart, never to be the same, but God was with them. Jacob's own son was hated by his brothers because Jacob loved Joseph most. And so the brothers threw Joseph in a pit, threatened to kill him, and then sold him into slavery. And then they had to live with a lie that they told their father that Joseph was dead. The family was broken and would never be the same again. We all have experienced death or loss. When we move, we experience loss. When we change jobs, we grieve loss. When our children grow up and leave home, we grieve our loss. When we dream of our future lives, you know, when you're young, remember those days when you're young, you dreamt of who are you going to marry, how many children you were going to have, and how brilliant and stellar they were going to be the next presidents of the United States. And you would grow old happily ever after. At some point in our lives, we have to let go of those younger dreams and allow those dreams to die because life doesn't turn out as we expected. God says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I struggle with the verse in this psalm that says, I fear no evil. It catches me. I don't know about you, but I'm easily scared by challenges in life. And don't make me watch a scary movie. I was tricked into watching Silence of the Lambs, and I didn't sleep for 3 days. When something threatens us, we each have our own way of responding. Some become angry. Some run away, some freeze in fright. For those of us for whom fear comes naturally as the first response, we struggle to say, I fear no evil. But those are the words of our beloved scripture. You know, in recent studies, scientists have learned that what we think makes neuron paths in our brains so that when we face similar situations, our brains will follow the same line of thinking. For instance, some of us always think positively. We think that others are always going to do their best and that everyone has good intentions and that life will work out well. Worry does not come to those of us who naturally expect the best. Some of us are naturally pessimistic. We expect that others are not going to do what they should do, and so we like to micromanage those people. We suspect people of bad intentions, and we expect life to turn out hard. Now, I'm describing two extremes, and most of us are somewhere in the middle. But research shows that the thoughts we practice regularly reinforce or create our future thoughts. If we want to live a happier life, we can train our brains to follow happier neuron paths. If we practice having positive thoughts on a regular basis, we will eventually more naturally think positive thoughts. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Even though I suffer like Joseph in the pit, I don't fear evil because I know that you are with me. God never says we don't suffer. God never promises an easy life. God never promises that evil won't take our lives. Soldiers in war can attest to that, and Jesus and his disciples can attest to that. Life in Christ does not exempt us from suffering, even unto death. God does promise, however, that just as Jesus was killed on a cross, God was with Jesus. God is with us. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. When we repeat that sentence, we train our minds and our hearts to trust God. We give our weary hearts rest in the assurance that God is with us, directing us, leading us through the darkness. We say over and over to ourselves, even when life is the bleakest, God is there to strengthen and guide me. I can trust that God is here. When my father nursed my mother with her Alzheimer's, she was ill for 15 years, and he took great strength and perseverance from reading Paul's second letter to the Corinthians in chapter 12. Therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. Three times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me, but God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. When the way is not clear, when darkness drags us down, we can rest in God's word, my grace is sufficient for you. God does not prevent suffering. God stands in the suffering. In Psalm 23, verse 5, we hear words that are sometimes confusing to us until we understand their meaning. You know the part where it goes on about the you prepare a table in the presence of my enemies? God, you know, I've always not liked that part, and I always not paid attention when I was memorizing it. And until I started studying scripture in seminary, and I was like, oh, this is really huge. God's grace is sufficient enough because even in the presence of our enemies, God prepares a great banquet for us. We want God to rescue and hide us from our enemies. We want God to be a knight in shining armor who sweeps in and sweeps us away to safety while slaying the enemy. But here in one of our favorite Bible passages, God assures us that God will host us even as our enemy chases us. Psalm 23 says, God prepares not just dinner, but a banquet. We know this because for a special banquet, the host will anoint the guest's heads with oil. That's the symbolism of you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Not only am I the honored guest of a bounty of food and drink provided by God, but my cup overflows. The cup of wine is a symbol of joy. The psalmist praises God for providing abundant joy, overflowing joy in the presence of my enemies. Enemies exist, but God is there, providing ultimate protection an overabundance of provision in the midst of the struggle. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. When we run from danger and we look back to see how close the enemy is, we see God's goodness and mercy. For God has provided refuge and sustenance. God's goodness outweighs all danger. God's goodness and mercy outweighs even those who chose to kill Jesus. Even when it seems that evil prevails, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Life is more than this earthly existence. God's presence extends beyond what we see, hear, touch, taste, and smell, and beyond what we think. For in our entire existence, God is there. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Rest in God's presence. Put your worries down. Breathe the fear out of your chest. Quiet your thoughts. Rest in God's presence. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Will you repeat that with me? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Go out into the world refreshed and renewed, feeling the presence of God who walks you through each moment of each day. May you have comfort and peace as you face the challenges of the week, and may you share the love of God. Bring other people to God's green pastures. And all God's people say,
Alleluia, 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 Amen.